Genau, das dauert. There are certain patterns in life. There are certain patterns that we have in life. Some good, some bad. So I want to discuss a pattern that prevails, causes us quite a bit of anxiety. Causes us to wonder about ourselves and who we are, what we really want in this world. To connect to this time of the year, to connect to these parashiyas. I'm going to begin with the Torah from Rabbi Nachman, Likkut Maharan, the first Chelek Siman Ayin Beis. Rabbi Nachman teaches the following. Lefamim bo la'adam hirhu tshuva. Sometimes, Rabbi Nachman says sometimes, it happens that a person has a desire to change, a desire to return to Hashem, a hirhu tshuva, a feeling of tshuva. Especially this time of year. Is that yes, you? A person has a feeling of tshuva, a hirhu tshuva. V'nasa ba'isa shoha ish kasha. And when the person is filled with the thought of returning to Hashem, at that time that he has that thought, the person becomes an ish kasha. An ish kasha means a kosher Jew, a good Jew, for the moment. You know, that even if a person wants to be better, for that moment the person is a tzaddik. V'acha kach reitzu lasas uvda. Now that he's decided that he wants to be better, and he has this feeling of tshuva, he's concluded that he wants to do something. He wants to begin a program of self-improvement. He wants to change. It's not enough just to feel the need to do tshuva. He wants to mamash do something. He wants to change. So what does he do? Chen reitzel in soila hatzadik. So, for instance, Rabbi Nachman says, the person wants to seek guidance. What should I do? I feel that I need to be better. I feel that I want to be better, but I don't know how to go about doing this. So he therefore decides that he would like to go see a tzaddik and to ask this tzaddik to guide him, to show him how he could actually go about changing. But then look what happens. Rabbi Nachman says, V'chaka kishneseya, when he does go to the tzaddik, mizgabra lo v'yitzahar. When he actually does go to the tzaddik, mizgabra lo v'yitzahar, the evil inclination takes hold of him. V'noyfil mitshukosu shohel etchila. See, here he had this thought of change, and I'm going to go to the tzaddik, and I'm going to learn from him the way to actually go about changing my life. But then when he shows up at the tzaddik, and he's there, he doesn't have a cheshek anymore. He doesn't feel like it. You know, he's looking for a 2-on-2 basketball game or something. And until he got there, there was so much cheshek. V'oibed kol cheshko, until he finally gets, when he decides to go to the tzaddik, the cheshek starts to get less. And when he finally gets there, it becomes, he doesn't have a cheshek, he loses his desire altogether. So Rabbi Nachman says, Al Yaksha Zois Beinecha. He says, I know that this happens to everybody, and this is, you're wondering about why this happens to you. And he said, it's not really such a difficult thing to understand. Vayiv Halucha Reinecha, so don't become bewildered and terrified. Kida. You should know. She says, Nimshach Machmas ki betchila kishaboloi hahir tshuva machmas atayv she hisayr besaychai. When you had that first desire for tshuva, that first thought of tshuva of returning, so you were filled with the toiv, with the light of that desire. As I de maisev b'isashah hamis yitzro. So at that moment you were able to defeat a certain presence of the yetzahar, of the evil inclination that was within you, that was until then holding you back. Ki hemisa b'zeh hira tshuva. The hira tshuva was able to kill that yetzahar. No, but what happens? V'achachach kishereisel insoyim es garbel of yetzahar achir. But now that you decide you want to go to the tzaddik, or you want to go wherever it is, to yeshiva, but you've made up your mind to go do something about your feeling, about that feeling that you have to change. So what happens? So he says, then you have a new Yetzirah. Here you thought that you've gotten away from the Yetzirah, and you had this strong feeling of returning to Hashem, and then all of a sudden, you meet up with a new Yetzirah. A Yetzirah that you never met before. Why is that? So Ibn Achman says, the reason is, as it says in the Gemara in Sukkah, the greater you are, the greater is the force of evil that rises up against you to tear down your greatness. So what happened with this person? So he says, Mimeli says, V'yeshlo ati yetzahar godl mimasho hoylo tchila. Before he considered tshuva as an option in life, before he considered the returning to Hashem, when he was a small person, he also had a small Yetzirah, although it caused him a great deal of aggravation. But he had a small Yetzirah. Oh, so now he's a greater person, because he's made the decision. He's made the decision to become greater. No, Mimela, as a result of his decision to become a greater person, his greatness has been increased. So the way that this world works, where everything is zelum azev, which we've spoken about so often, where everything is to maintain that level of choice. So the greater the person is, the greater is the Yetzirah. To fight against that new you. To tear down that new person that has been established by virtue of the fact that you want to be better. So now you have Yetzirah says that I have to try harder to get you. As I'm as Gabra loves that Yetzirah Chodesh v'noifil mitshukoso, and you lose your cheshek, you lose your desire. That new Yetzirah takes away from you the new cheshek, the new desire that you had. Yetzirah is Gabra's Chodesh v'yoseh. Because if you want to defeat the new Yetzirah, you have to continuously increase your desire of good. You have to continuously strengthen your resolve of holiness and tshuva in order to be always one step ahead. Because the Yetzirah is always growing in proportion to the growth of the Eitzer HaTov. With every drop of goodness that develops inside of you, there's the evil one that's growing together. So some people become discouraged. Rabbi Nachman knows this. We're going to talk about this a little bit more later on in the Torah. That people become discouraged and their feeling is, look, better I should remain a small person. Maybe I can be able to deal with my small Yetzirah. And so I won't be great. I'm not so great in terms of goodness. I won't be a great tzaddik, but I won't be a great rosh. That's not our choice. I don't feel it's necessary to discuss that at this time. Let's understand. On a very practical level, many times here, especially in the parashiyos of Sefer Shmos, we've learned that Yetzias Mitzrayim, the leaving of Egypt, didn't just mean the ability of the Jewish people as a whole to leave that place of exile. But everybody here that's learned the sugya of Yetzias Mitzrayim knows very well that it's because our people left Mitzrayim that every single Jew who is stuck in a place that is constricted, that's small, a place that's dark and corrupt, that every Jew has the ability to lift himself and herself out of that place of Mitzrayim. We've spoken about this dozens of times. And the whole Torah revolves around Yetzias Mitzrayim. And every single mitzvah is a reminder that your Zaydi, your grandfather, your grandmother left Mitzrayim. They left that place of impurity, and you too can rise and lift yourself up out of impurity. And also, whatever happened to our ancestors in Mitzrayim, whatever happened to them as part of their journey out of Mitzrayim, developing into the nation, every single Jewish person must go through all of the trials and tribulations of our ancestors by Yetzias Mitzrayim. So look what happened. Let's detect the pattern, because if we have a pattern in our lives of rising and falling, if we have the pattern that Rabbi Nachman is describing, which one has to admit is true, that the greater effort you make, you know how many people have told this to me, that ever since I tried to be a better Jew, you can't imagine, Rabbi, the kind of Yetzirah I have. When I didn't try so hard, things were a lot easier. The harder I tried, the more I tried, the more I pushed forward in the observance of mitzvahs and the learning of Torah, the more I feel that the evil one is catching up to me. So there is a pattern. So that pattern must be traced back to the beginning. And once we understand its roots, we'll be able to understand the tzaddikim's eitzes, the eitz of the tzaddikim of how to overcome. The light of redemption began to shine in Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And then Moshe Rabbeinu eventually approached Paro. And now the light of Geula of redemption is mamish pressing itself into existence, pushing its way into the world. And the Jewish people felt, this is it, this is the beginning, it's happening. The promise that Hashem made to our ancestors is finally being fulfilled. Things are looking up. And then all of a sudden, the decree is announced. Tichbad Havayda. Tichbad Havayda, Paro said, let the work become more difficult, the slavery more bitter, their lives more miserable. And you know that the slavery became more difficult because certain supplies that were necessary were not given and so on. Ad kidei kach that Moshe Rabbeinu had a taina. He had kivyochel complained, me oz bozi el Paro, that since I came to Paro, it's worse for the Jews. Here it seemed that things were going to, that redemption was beginning. It was this chalta de gula. And it looked like things were moving in that direction towards the redemption. And Paro proclaims, Tichbad ha'avoda. Let the work be more difficult. Because with every single yard that is gained by holiness, Paro and his troops increase their efforts, because kol agol michaver, as Rabbi Nachman revealed to us, kol agol michaver, yitzor gadol mimenu, that the greater the person, the greater the yitzor. So Paro's power is intensified. And you would think that each clap he gets a maka. With every maka that he gets, so you think, oh, here it is. This is the one that's going to do it. This is going to be the maka bapatish. Now Paro is going to say, I've had enough. But then after the maka, and you think that this is it, Paro can't go anymore, then the Torah says, v'yachazik lev Paro, v'anichin echbarti yislibo, that the heart of Paro becomes hardened. Tichbar ha'avoida. And the work becomes more unbearable. The beginning of Mesil Sesharim, the second parak. The Ramchal writes, V'hine izoiz be'emes achas mitachbulus yetzahar. The Ramchal says, I want to discuss with you one of the tricks of the yetzahar, of the evil inclination. One of his strategies of the evil inclination. Lahach b'davadoso b'tmidiz alibayz b'nei ha'odim. Actually, yeshor lahem revach lehizboinin lestak lebezaderechem holchim. One of the most powerful strategies of the evil one is not to get you to sin necessarily. There are some people that they, as they're increasing in their avodas Hashem, sinning becomes something which is less likely. So what does the evil one do? He causes you to be so preoccupied, so busy, so lost, so bewildered in the events of this world, so overwhelmed by work and by school, by daigus, by worries about parnosa and all these other things. Ad kidei kach, to the point that a person doesn't have the time to stop and think, what's the tachlis of my life? person doesn't have the presence of mind to stop and to think, what am I doing in this world? What am I doing here? Ki yadehu, because the Yetzer Hara knows that what shilulei hayusha samim libam kimat kat al darkayim vade shemiyad yimaschilum linochin yimaseim. The Yetzer Hara knows that if a person would have a moment to stop and think, Rabbi Shalom, what am I? Who am I? What am I doing in this world? That person would return to Hashem, would stop doing what's wrong. And the charot, the person would regret the past and so on. So the Ramchal writes, this began with Paro. This strategy began with Paro. Because when the Jewish people began to sense their freedom, they began to taste freedom. And they were becoming excited that, we're going to get out of this. We're no longer slaves. Like the halacha is, it's in the Gemara in Pesachim. Bola mara lo yotzeth, that if you swallow the mara without tasting it, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of eating mara. That a Jew, in order to become free, you have to first taste that it's bitter. You have to feel the bitterness of exile to want to leave. If you swallow the mara without tasting it, you're not yotzeth the mitzvah of eating mara. That means that you take bitterness as something that is part of your life and you accept golus. So the Jewish people in Mitzrayim were beginning to taste the bitterness of exile. They began to remember that they were the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And they began to despise the slavery. And they began to hate themselves for being stuck in mud their entire lives. And they were looking for something greater. So they're starting to think, uh-oh. So Paro comes along and he announces, Tichbad Havayda. Overtime. You heard of that? Overtime, that's what it means. Tichbad Havayda means overtime. So you used to be able to come back at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and you could hop a little bit to think, to learn a little bit, to talk to your family. Not anymore. Because Paro announced, Tichbar HaVoidah. Because Paro knows that if you think, you're going to return to Hashem. The Ramchal says, that's the eights of Paro. Sh'omar Tichbar HaVoidah HaNoshim. He understood. Sh'loy lahanich lahem revach klal levilti yitnulei v'yasimu eitz ha'kenegdo. So you see, that was the beginning. When redemption began to unfold, Paro and his decree of Tichbad HaVoda to prevent you from thinking, and just when you were beginning to feel the need to be redeemed and the desire to be someone better, so Paro comes along and immerses you in an infinite amount of details that are insignificant. And that's the way of the Yetzer Hara always, since then. Anytime you have a chance to think, anytime there's the possibility of growth, and you have a thought of growing, says Rabbi Nachman says, then the Yetzer Hara chases after you and uses the ammunition of Paro. So then what happened to Bnei Yisrael? So, Mu'amakis, you think things are getting better, Ve'yachazik leiv Paro. So finally we leave Mitzrayim. Good! Everything is good now. We left Mitzrayim, that means now we're taken redeemed. And everything is wonderful. And I'm finished with the Yetzer Hara. Goodbye, Yetzer. No longer, there's no more Yetzer. And the Jewish people are having a great time. They're heading towards the Yam Suf. Then what happens? They come to the Yam Suf. And everybody starts to get a little bit nervous. They say, it's closed. And then they start to hear a sound from behind them. And they look back over their shoulders. The whole army of Paro. Sus v'rochba. Makivos Paro. All the chariots of Paro, the Yetzer Hara, there he is again. And as Chazal described, there are wild animals on this side and on that, and the ocean is in front of them, and they had nowhere to go, and they look back and they see the whole army of Paro. Which means that after they thought they left Mitzrayim, just like you and I, sometimes we go through an unbelievable nisayon, an unbelievable temptation, a difficult test, and we succeed and we pass, and we say, Baruch Hashem, smooth sailing. Smooth sailing. My next stop is at the table of the Moeses Gedolei HaTorah. That's my next stop on a Torah card. That's where my picture is going to be appearing any day now. And all of a sudden, Anaya Yetzirah, you never dreamt of. A new Yetzirah. Paro's coming with more soldiers than ever before. No. What happened, happened. We're going to come back to it later on. The Rebbeinu Shlomo opened the water, and they all went through. So now all of Mitzrayim drowns, and now it's for sure everything is great. that was a strange, that was a very, very odd thing. It shouldn't have happened. So then Bnei Yisrael come to Har Sinai. Fantastic. The 3 days of separation, the Hagbola, the Jewish people lifted up to the holiness of Adam HaRishon before the sin. Things are really looking up. This is the moment that all of creation has been waiting for. Yom HaShishi. Here it is. The Chet HaEgel. The sin of the golden calf. Whatever that was, I'm not getting into that. We've spoken about that many times. I'm not getting into it now. But whatever that was. But you and I think that, every one of us thinks that, gee, if I would have been there, I would have never have bought that. I can't believe they went for that. We can't imagine. That taiva, that desire for the chait, for the eagle, for the golden calf, was infinitely more powerful than what was going on with Pyro and with all those other things before. It's a new Yetzirah. A Yetzirah that they never dreamt of. Now, as they stood at Har Sinai, and they reached the greatest level they had ever reached. So, Mimela, the Yetzirah has increased in its power and its force. Tichbad Ha'avayda, to take the minds of the Jewish people off their tachlis, their purpose in this world. And they fall, or a percentage of them fell into the Chet HaEgel, which caused what it caused. Which we're still suffering from. Chazal, in their unique way of summarizing, put this very beautifully in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It's one of those Mishnayos that they're easy to translate, but they're hard to live with. Al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yom ma'ischa. Don't trust yourself until the day of your death. Don't trust yourself. It's never smooth sailing. Because just when you've gotten better, just when you've had the thought of tshuva, just when you've gotten past the last obstacle, there's a stronger one, a fiercer one, a more terrifying one that's waiting in the wings to go after you. This is the pattern. This could cause a person to get a little bit depressed, no? I don't see too many smiles right now. So we have an Eitzah. We have the Torah's advice, as it was understood by the Tzaddikim, of how to deal with this. Really, this would require a few hours. I have to say everything very much b'kitzur. It's based upon a pasuk in this past parsha, in Kiseitzer. You know, there's a certain mitzvah in the Torah. There are only two mitzvahs in the Torah where the Torah says we'll have a long life. Honoring parents, and Shiloh HaKan, sending out the mother bird, sending away the mother bird in order to take the little ones, right? In the Zohar HaKadosh, in the Kisvei Ari, in the writings of the Arizal, this section of Torah, the sending away of the mother bird, is revealed to contain within it the deepest, deepest secrets of creation. But you and I are not holding by those deepest, deepest secrets. So we're going to try to understand the teaching of Rabbi Nosson from Breslov. If you come across a bird's nest along the path, chol eitz, on a tree, al ha'aretz, on the earth, efroichim or beitzim, the little chicks, the birds, or beitzim or eggs, v'ha'emer vetzitz al efroichim al beitzim, and the mother is fluttering above, is hovering over, she's on top of the little ones, then loisika ha'em al habonim. You cannot take the mother bird together with the little ones. Shaleach teshalach ha'em. If you want to take the little ones, then shaleach teshalach ha'em. Then you have to send the mother bird away. Shiloh ha'kat. V'sabonim tikach loch laman yitav locha v'arach v'yom, in order that you should live a long life. Shiloh ha'kat. In the Zohar Kaddish, we're taught And that parasha of Shiluchah came with Torah. I once spoke about this in a different context. That those little birds that are still unable to fly, they haven't yet earned their wings. Or the eggs that haven't yet fully developed and hatched. Those are the neshamas. The Isarachu Me'asrayu refers to Jews who are lost, who have wandered from their nest, who have wandered away from Hashem. Who have wandered away from Hashem. Just jumping from one rooftop to the next without knowing what they're supposed to be doing. Jews are never lost. Including ourselves. You could be such a person even with a yarmulke. But someone who simply neshomas the Sarachum Yasrayu, souls that are not where they belong. That they're just not in their place. That means Jews that have fallen into aveiros, nabuch. Jews that have fallen into the wrong things. Those are the little birds that can't fly. They don't yet have the two godfin, the two wings of love of God and fear of God. They're earthbound. They're not flying. They're jumping. They're hopping. They're crippled from one place to another. They can't come to themselves. Those are the little birds. So the Torah says, Ki yikar kan tzipor lefanecha baderech. Baderech, according to the Zohar, means if you meet a Jew, including yourself, a soul who has strayed off the path, meaning baderech, he's not home, he's not where he belongs, he's baderech, he's fablonjin. Along the road. A Jew that, he's not where he belongs, he's wandering somewhere. B'chol eitz. The tree, of course, is a hint to what? He's lost in the confusion of the tree of good and of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra, the Ilana D'Sveika, the tree of doubt, the tree of skepticism, the tree of uncertainty, the tree of sin. Oy al ha'aretz, oy on the earth. The earth means, Rabbi Nosson says, oy al ha'aretz means that Nebuch, a person that mamish has hit rock bottom, sha'ol tachtiyas. You have some people that they're still lost, they're still bewildered. He has some idea of Tov and Ra. Then you have others that are completely satisfied with evil. They just enjoy it. They have no problems with it at all. They have no svekis. They're not dealing with doubts and skepticism. They're certain that this is wonderful. They're certain in evil. They have complete confidence in their averis. Most of us, we don't have that. Mostly, you know, you do an aveira and you have tzaras, you think back and forth, tovara. But there are people that they're al ha'aretz mamish, b'shol tachtiyas. They've hit rock bottom. God forbid ourselves. And the question is, what do you do to save these? What do you do to take care of these little birds, these lost Jews? That's the question according to the Zohar. What can one do to help these little birds that are so vulnerable and helpless? But they don't even realize how lost they are. So Torah gives an eitzah. It got back to me when I spoke about this on Shabbos that at least one person terribly misunderstood the way that I explained this. So please give me the benefit of the doubt. The Torah says shalech tishalach haseim, to send the mother bird away. V'sabonim tikach loch, then you could rescue, you could save the little ones. This got back to me on Sunday that the person said, I heard that you were saying that mothers should be sent away, that the mother is a Yetzirah. This is what actually said. So mothers should be sent away. Mothers-in-law maybe, but mothers for sure not. Mothers for sure not. Chas v'shol. An Irish guy. Mothers should be sent away. So what does it mean in Avodas Hashem? Shalech tishalach haseim. So before we could even talk about what that means, first let's understand what does it mean, the mother? What is a mother? What does it mean in Avodah? What's the mother? Now, I've spoken about this particular koach very often, more than any of the other nine koaches. I've spoken about that, which is called Bina, understanding. And those of you that are familiar with these discussions, you know that Bina is a feminine characteristic. Chazal tell us that women have Bina Yesera. They have an additional capacity to experience Bina, understanding. Just to review, very quickly, for our purposes here, let it suffice to say, when a person wants to say something or do something, there's usually a thought process that precedes that, unless it's something which is done like a, it's something that you do just out of habit. But when a person wants to say something, or a person wants to do something, there will be a thought process that precedes that. But the person considers the different possibilities and whether or not he should say this or should do this. In those things that are very simple, those areas of life that are very, very simple, this happens very quickly. You don't notice that you've thought it out. You don't realize that you're thinking about it. It could happen, mamish, it's terrifying. We can't measure it in seconds. It's so fast. So you don't feel that there was any pause by that thing by that stop that's called bina, which means to consider, to weigh and measure. You don't feel it. It's so fierce. But in those things in life, that require those big decisions in life, where you really, really have to work over, you really have to think out, so then you feel very strongly bina, which means to be maven dove mitach dove, to try to understand, to compare, to contrast. It comes from the word livnot, to build binyon. That's why by chave is vayiven, to build. It means to construct the thought ad kedei kach, that the thought becomes clarified in your mind and you're ready then to speak a word that has been considered or to do an action that you've thought about. This process in the teachings of Sisrei Torah of Kabbalah, this process is referred to as Eim Habonim. Bina is called the mother of the child. The child being words and actions. Bina is the mother. Bina means that understanding, that consideration to weigh and measure. When the mind is filled with a certain thought, the Svarim tell us, it's as if the mind is expecting. The mind is pregnant with the possibility of a certain word or a certain act. When the mother, the Eim Habonim, gives birth to a healthy, full-term word, or a healthy, full-term action, then the mother should get a mazel tov. The bina, the seichel, the understanding should get a mazel tov. Mazel tov, you gave birth to such a cute little word. And such a wonderful, what a wonderful action you gave birth to. And the mother rejoices. That's the Eim Habonim Semeicha. The Eim Habonim Semeicha, the mother that's rejoicing, means the power of decision, the power of bina, which is uniquely feminine. When I say uniquely, it doesn't mean to the exclusion of men, but it means that they have a unique koach of bina. That once that decision has been made, and it's able to be brought, to be drawn down into words and down into actions, then we say mazel tov, because the mother who was expecting has given birth. And that's a hailoda mamish. It's mamish giving birth. Bina means hisboininus, thinking deeply, meditating. Bina, hisboininus. Not only that, even after the mother has given birth to the child, the mother has to care for the child. In other words, bina must still be applied. Even after you've said the word or the sentence, and even after you've done the act, bina must still be applied, just like the mother has to continue to care for the children. While the father's out there someplace, bina, the mother, the understanding heart, that bina shebelev, the bina must continue to see to it that the words develop properly, that the actions have a chain, that the actions develop in a good and healthy way. Not enough just to give birth to a good word or to a good action. The mother has to see to it. Bina has to be used to think and to work out to take care that the words and that the actions should develop in a healthy way. should grow and be strong. Now here we come to the frightening part. Bina so far sounds, it just sounds great. This is wonderful. Bina, feminine mother, Eim Habonim Samecha, the joy of the mother giving birth. That's good. But the Zohar reveals to us that at this stage that's called Bina, Dinin Mesaren, Din is awakened. Din. Din could be the source of suffering. Din could be, there's a danger. That danger is called Din. Rosh Hashanah is Hayom HaAsilim. Isn't Rosh Hashanah the birthday of the world? The birthday of man, actually, right? Of Adam HaRishon is, and Chava was Hayom HaAsilim. That's Rosh Hashanah. That's why it's the day of Din. That's why the day of judgment. Because this is the danger of beginnings. This is what Rabbi Nachman was talking about. The Torah says, at the very beginning, with Adam and Chava, the Torah says, L'pesach atas roveis, by Cain and Hevel, that sin crouches by the opening. Sin crouches by the opening. That means, whenever something new is about to be born, certainly, in the physical world, you all know that there have been astounding progress in the process, in the medical technique of delivering babies. And thank God, because of that, Bez Hashem, because of that, there are many, many more women that they're able to deliver in a healthy way, healthy children. You know that in old times, and I'm not talking about ancient times, in recent history, that any time a woman went to have a child, it was like 50-50 she would survive. It was a pachad. A pachad. It's still pretty scary. Still pretty scary. It's a serious business. You know why? Because whenever something new was born, like Rabbi Nachman taught, whenever something great, whenever the light of redemption appears, sin waits at the opening. It's a klal. Because the evil one will always increase its forces to attack the appearance of something new that hasn't been here before. A new point of holiness, a new idea, a new thought, a new word, a new act, a new Jewish child. L'pesach hatas reveitz. It's waiting. So any time that your mind, you have a thought of tshuva. That thought of tshuva is weighed and measured in that part of you that's called bina. And that means the Eim HaBonim, the mother of the child. And that's a wonderful thing to give birth. You want to be able to say words of Torah and tefillah. You want to be able to change your life. You want to do tshuva. So Rabbi Nachman says, watch out. Because at the opening there's the Yetzirah, but a new Yetzirah. The mother's in such danger. The baby's in such danger at the time of labor, the time of birth. Time of delivery, there's such a sakana, there's such a sakana. Paro and his troops. For you to become a tzaddik, for you or I to become tzaddikim, that means to be full-term Jews, complete yidden, to be fully born. Tshuva, the thought of tshuva, is the appearance of that potential that you could be a tzaddik. You've decided to go away from the old way and you want to be a tzaddik. The Yetzirah is waiting there by the opening. A new Yetzirah is waiting by the opening. And mainly you become confused, you begin to think, you begin to question whether or not you can actually do this. Why am I doing it? Maybe I'm not ready for this. I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't begin to speak those words. I shouldn't carry out those actions. Or even if you started to speak the actions, how many times people that became Balei Tshuva, and I'm not just talking about the Balei Tshuva that use the word nowadays, but all of us, when we try to be better, how many times we trying to be better, for a little bit, but then the Paro comes and there's failures, new Yetzirahs and so on, and then we think that, look, maybe I'm not ready for it, I can't, I don't know, I shouldn't, I can't, whatever. And ever since, like I said before, ever since I'm trying to become more religious, I'm having more tzaras, I've lost money, how many people have told that to me over the years? Ever since I became religious, I'm having a harder time making a pranaz. So now listen to the Torah. Ki korikan tzipel ifanech. If you meet a Jew, including yourself, who is a little bird without wings that has strayed away from home, that's lost. It's mamish lost. On the derech, caught up in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in the ground. Now you want to help yourself. Let's talk about yourself. Means the mother, remember, the mother means what? Bina. That means that you've started thinking again. Right? You've starting to use Bina. That means the mother. And the mother is coming there. The Bina has come to take care of the children, to give birth to the new feelings, the new thoughts, the new words and actions. That's what it means for Ha'emer of Vetzes al Ha'afroichim. But then all of a sudden, the Torah, now everything sounds very, very beautiful. The mother is there protecting and hovering over, and that means that Bina has given birth to new words and new actions. And the Bina is trying to take care of the mother, which means Bina, the ability of Bina, is taking care even after you've tried to start your life of tshuva. So all of a sudden the Torah says, you can't take them together. Now all of a sudden the Torah says, send away the mother bird. What's going on? The mother bird means Bina. Bina means understanding. Bina means deep thought. It means hesbonenus. It means meditation. It means contemplation. It means figuring your life out. Until now, Bina was the one that gave birth to the little birds. And all of a sudden the Torah says, if you want to rescue this Jew that's got fablonjit, send away the mother bird. Why? So we continue in Lakuta Maran. I skip a page, two pages. Now listen. Ubavadai. Misha mezgab mo lo avelu hademyoin is koshel ima oidli hinotzel mehem. Ula avir mi machshavta. What happens is as follows. You have been exercising your Bina. And because of your Bina, you've come to the wonderful decision to change. But then we learn that every time you make that decision to change, there's sin that crouches at the opening, and there's a new Yetzar that comes after you. So Ibn Achman says, and as much as you try to get rid of these new terrible thoughts, this new Yetzirah, like the Jews trying to shake off Paro, they gain more and more strength. Because this is the nature of these ugly thoughts of the Yetzirah. The more you try to figure out the Yetzirah, the more you try to use the power of Bina to understand, why am I going through this? Why is this bothering? Why do I have this Yetzirah? What am I going to do? Am I going to have this Yetzirah the rest of my life? I can't possibly deal with this Yetzirah. In other words, you're using since you're on the Bina mode, that's what brought you to tshuva. So the Bina is still staying there with the little birds. But at this point, Rabbi Nachman says that if you're starting to think deeper and deeper and contemplate and focus in your thoughts, in your Bina, on the new Yetzirah that you can't shake off, it's entered into your Bina. It's like a person who's running away. Let's say, let's say you're running away from a dog. You're running away from the dog. Everybody knows that if you've ever had the misfortune of being chased by an animal, then you know that if you turn around and you look, then it makes a meshuggah. If you turn around, you face that one. If you look at it, if you think about it, it becomes worse. This on every level of existence, for the simplest thing. If you have a mosquito bite. If you don't think about it, it doesn't chase you. If you start thinking about this mosquito bite is the most horrible thing I've ever seen, and you're showing everybody, did you ever see such a thing? And you think about it, that who knows how much of this mosquito's poison is coursing through my veins at this very moment. So then you give it a lot of COVID, and you think about it, and you've been developed, you're working it through. So then it chases you, goes into sugar. Doesn't let you go. Rabbi Nachman says you throw your head this way and that way. And you come to a Yetzer Hara and you're trying to think about this Yetzer Hara. Why do I have this Yetzer Hara? What's the philosophical ramifications of my Yetzer Hara? And so on. You go into it deeply, you meditate, you think about it. You use Bina, but here the Bina is now working against you. Because the more you think about it, the more you look at it, the more you stare at it, the more it comes after you. Anybody who's ever had these problems knows that I'm telling the truth, Rabbi Nachum says. So now understand. The Torah comes along and gives us an etzah. The Torah says like this. Whenever you're trying to become better and you use the power of Bina to make a decision, and that mother is rejoicing with the new feelings, the new words and new actions, that's fantastic. But then now, that's stage one. Beautiful. So far, Eim Habonim Samecha. Great. Bina is terrific, and it's helping you out. It's helping you to come into the world of tshuva. A. B. We learned at the beginning that once you've made that decision to change and you've exercised your Bina to draw new words and actions into your life, and you want to do tshuva, so then Paro sends out the heavy artillery, right? Because now you're on a bigger madrega, so now there's a bigger Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Hara is coming after you, like the Jewish people when we were running away and we came to Yamsuf. Just when we thought everything was finished, because now, sof kol sof, I gave birth. Could you imagine? By animals, they have such a thing that they give birth, and then a day or two later, the animals, on television, just takes seconds. The animal goes away. In real life, I guess, in a day or two, they go away. Could you imagine? Maybe there are people like that, Nebuch. But most parents, they're metapel with their children. You have to take care of the child. But what happens at that stage, that you're overwhelmed, you're overcome by your new Yetzer Hara. So now the Torah gives advice. The Torah now says, at this point, Rabbi Yid, my brother, the Torah says, Shalech tishalach hasayin. Stop thinking. Stop thinking. They don't say that in modern institutions of study. Stop thinking. The same power of Bina that gave birth, the same power of Bina that brought you to do tshuva, at this time, it's a new opening was made, and there's sin that's crouching at the opening. Now, for the moment, for the hour, for the day, it's necessary. Until you feel comfortable with your new level in Yiddishkeit, Rabbi Nachman says that this is what the Torah is telling us. Shalech tishalach hasayin. Send away the mother bird temporarily, which means stop thinking. Stop thinking. Suspend the power of Bina. Because when you think about the dog that's behind you, and you keep on looking back to see the dog, then the dog starts to go meshuggah chasing you. The more you think about the Yetzer Hara, the more the Yetzer Hara rises up against you. The more you try to figure it out, the more you try to ask yourself 1,000 questions, why, how come this, that, the more it comes to hurt you. The more it's strengthened. So if you send away the mother bird, temporarily, suspend the power of Bina, then the Torah says, Vesabonim tikach loch, then you can rescue the children. That means that now you can have actions, words and actions, that will be allowed to continue to move forward, to grow. It's like that with every mother and every child. That in order for the child to become independent in a different way, not with Ra, not with evil, but in order for the child to be his own, to be her own person, there must be such a matzav, there must be such a period of shalech to shalech ha'saim in order that that's habonim tikachla. There has to be a separation in order for the children to grow. And this is exactly what happened when we came to Yamsuf. Let's go back now. We were talking before about the Red Sea, about the Yamsuf. So the Jewish people were feeling great. And the mother, Bina, was very happy because now the Jewish people are a nation and they were born into the world. Everything is terrific. Then we come to Yamsuf. And that difficult situation that we were in is described in Shir HaShirim. It says in Shir HaShirim, Yonosi b'chag v'hasela. That means that my dove, the Jewish people are Hashem's dove, they're caught by the crack of, by the opening of the rock, which means that they were stuck. And that's how Chazal used that pasuk to describe what happened to us by Yamsuf, that the Egyptians are chasing after us. Because we're looking over our shoulders to see the enemy. The Egyptians are chasing after us. We have nowhere to go on either side, and the ocean's in front of us. So it says in Shir HaShirim, Yonosi b'chag v'hasela, that my precious dove, the Jewish people are stuck. They're stuck. They have nowhere to go. So what happened? So it says in the Torah, Vayitzaku bnei Yisrael al Hashem. Good. They turned to Hashem. They began to call out to Hashem. And what was Hashem's response to that? Ma titzak elai. Stop screaming. Dabar el bnei Yisrael. Tell the Jews what? Dabar el bnei Yisrael. V'yiso. What does it mean v'yiso? Go! You know people that sit around at one stage of Yiddishkeit for 40 years kvetching? I don't know. Maybe, yes. Like, you know, to dip into the Yamsuf a finger a little bit like this. So Hashem says, Ma titzak elai. Dabar el bnei Yisrael v'yiso. Tell the Jews to go ahead. Move ahead. Stop thinking so much about it. The Yetzirah, there's a new Yetzirah. That's the terror of the world. That's the nature of the world. With every ounce of holiness that you bring into your life, there's going to be an ounce that comes to fight against it. And it's going to strengthen itself. And the dog is chasing you. And power is chasing you. And tichbad havoida, when you try to increase your avodas Hashem, then you'll become more confused with work and with kids and with the whole world. So instead of sitting about and getting stuck in Bina, the same Bina that was the mother that got you in a good place. Mom! But at this point, the Torah says, Shalech tishalech ha'aim. Be careful. Because if you're going to dwell, if you're going to think too much at this point, if you're going to become filled with anxiety and worries, and you're going to think about what's going on right now, how come the Yetzer, why is the Yetzer, you'll get destroyed. So what happened? Hashem says, Dabar b'nisov yisov, go. And there was a brave man, Nachshon ben Amminadav, and he went into the water. And ever since that day, every Jewish person has the ability to send away temporarily that power of thought, that power of thinking, that power of worrying and weighing and measuring, to suspend that and to do what's right, to move ahead with what's right, to go on to the next step in life, the next step. There are so many of us that are sitting by that opening for years, and we can't move ahead to the next step. Because the new Yetzirah, the new Yetzirah is raising the old Yetzirah. But to the next step, Dabar b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. Shlomo HaMelech was very smart, and he said in Mishlei, Im ruach ha-moshel ta'aleh alecha, that if the force, if the energy of the ruler, of the evil one, rises up against you, mekoimcha altana. Don't leave your place. What does it mean, don't leave your place? Mekoyim chal tanach means you just do what you have to do. If it means getting up in the morning, going to shul, if it means keeping Shabbos, if it means behaving the right way, dressing the right way, acting the right way, mekoyim chal tanach. There's a new Yetzirah. That's true. That's your test at that new level. Mekoyim chal tanach means that you can't turn back and look at that Yetzirah. You can't focus on it. You can't think about it. You can't get yourself buried into it. Don't pay any attention to it. It's like looking at a dog. If you ignore it and you run, then Hashem will open up the Yam Suf for you. And ever since that day, any Jew who takes it upon himself or herself to move forward in serving Hashem, after that new level of tshuva and bina, it's hard to know exactly when, I don't have enough time to go into this at length, but after exercising that koch of bina to come to a decision, go with that decision. Move forward with the decision. And if there are obstacles that are in front of you and it looks like they're insurmountable, there's no way to get past them, you should know that once Nachshon went, the ocean opened. And you first have to go. And if you go, the ocean will split. And the Kapitel Tehillim that we say that this entire month, the chapter of Tehillim that we say, that even if the enemy camp comes to attack me, my heart is not afraid. Even if there's a war that they start against me, you go. You move ahead. You know, I wasn't going to talk about this, and I'm still not going to talk about it, just to mention it. You know, there was a Jew that died recently by the name of Viktor Frankl. You heard of him? He was a big Jew. He was a big person. He wasn't observant, to my understanding, but he had belief. And he was a special person. He lived through the concentration camp, lost his family. He developed a system of therapy that he called logotherapy. He wrote it. Some very important books, Men in Search of Meaning. What's logotherapy? This is a very simplistic, bordering on stupid introduction. Psychotherapy, which has its nakudas that are important, psychotherapy says that in order for this person to take the next step forward, he must completely understand everything that's happened to him in his past that's preventing him from moving forward. Logotherapy says, in order for this person to take the next step forward, you have to show him what he has to look forward to. You like that? That's what it is. Frankl said, Ma titzak elai. Okay, it happened, Tak. No one's saying that the past doesn't affect you. Everybody knows the past affects a person. What's the shaila? There's billions of dollars being made over people's pasts. You know that. Billions of dollars. It comes to a point where you say, Genuker, it's enough. Dabel b'nei Sylvia, so move. Start moving forward. The reason that I act this way, whenever I get upset, I turn off all the lights and run around the room with a knife. The reason I do that is because when I was 6 years old, the butcher ran after our chicken in the shtetl with a knife, and this has caused me to be traumatized. Ad kedei kach that I feel that anytime I feel threatened, I have the need to run around the room with a knife with the lights out. Listen. I don't mean to make fun, and I'm certainly not chalila ridiculing the profession. God forbid. And as I said, they're in the kudus of holiness when it's done properly by a God-fearing person, when it's used in the right way. But sometimes you tell a person, go. I want to read to you something from Rabbi Arla. Something from Rabbi Arla. It's now beautiful. If you have the Shulchan Atar in the 10th chapter of the introduction, Kibim Bar Yisrael HaKadosh Margish Godel Tzoris Navshem Mikol Tzad. If a Jew who's a holy person, a Jew, feels Tzoris from every side, Meshuka B'Tayvis, he feels that he's completely embedded in disgusting desires. The Daigis HaParnasa, and he also has worries of Parnasa earning a living. Anias, poverty. tsar, anguish, dachkus, v'yisurim, physical suffering, rachmanal etzlan. Ein loy etza. There's only one etza. There's only one thing that he could do. Ein lo etza, rak livroach. What does it mean, livroach? What does it mean, livroach? To escape. V'habrichu yehek fiyeruch eis v'azman. Oy livroach leiz et tzadik. To escape, to run to a tzadik. V'yivakesh ma'ashem shebizchus at tzadik yirachim akash boruch l'navshu. Then the zchus of the tzadik Hashem should have pity on me. Oy yivrach ben kibbutz oivdim v'yirei Hashem. Or go escape and connect yourself to a group of Jews who are strong in the service of God. Oh, Yivrach Lilma, Daf Gemara. Go run to a Gemara and open up a page of Gemara. V'sifrei Musar, open up a Musar Sefer. Oh, Yivrach L'tfilois Shel Dovid HaMelech, Olav HaShom. Go run to Tehillim. Hamleim Rishpei Eish V'shtoikikus, because Dovid HaMelech's Tehillim is filled with burning coals of longing for God.
A person who's lost in depression and sadness, but the Yetzirah throws on you. You read this in the Nefilas, the Kitnas Amoichin, and you're going through all kinds of, you read this and failures and problems. He feels no energy, no ability to become excited about Hashem. Sometimes it's so hard you can't even pick up a sefer. It's so hard to even pick up a sefer. Because he has such a bitter taste in his mouth, in his heart. The taste of death, rachmor l'slan. And now the Yetzirah says, I got this one. Now the Yetzirah says, I got this one. Paro is caught up to you. The dog is hanging on to your pants. The dog has got you. The evil one says, I'm never going to let go of this one. He's never going to get away from me. And the evil one is rejoicing with his catch. When you're depressed, when you're sad, filled with tivus, so the evil one is now secure. Hashem should have pity on this Jew. That Hashem should give you the strength and the awareness. Don't think about what's happening to you. Don't dwell on your sadness. Don't immerse yourself in the bitterness. What do you do? Mashpi b'karach livroach. To have the strength to escape, to run. Beize bricha. In any way that you can. Meaning to a gemara, to a tehillim, to a tzaddik, to a group of yidden. Vayedeis chaskusko v'zgabruz b'cheshek v'rotzik yisupin l'ashem az yoytzi mitachas yad ha-yetze ketzipor hanimlot mipach yoyksha. You'll be able to escape like a bird that was able to tear itself away from the trap. That's what we're talking about, the little birds. And that's for sure what he's alluding to. V'zois teda, this you should know. She'iker etzeli Yisrael ha'bricha. The main thing that a Jew has to know is how to escape. She'yivach b'kol etzel Hashem, to run to God. For kol shekain, certainly im zoicha de shtoike kus gagun livkai sala hurried the moris men afugas ke ben achovim mishtoike ke mitzah peliris bnei ovi vakodesh. And how much more so that if part of your escape is that you cry and you shed tears like a child that's longing to come back to his father, who's looking for his father and wants to escape to run to his arms, that if any of us would be in danger, God forbid. If any of us are in danger, the longing to be able to see once again the face of someone that you love and trust, that's how a Jew runs to Hashem, instead of looking back to Paro, to the dog. And he says, and Hashem will give you the strength to suddenly escape, to tear away from that. And he says, and let's end with this, Vat kama yugdal ha-simcha b'shamayim ad-ein l'shoyer ba'orchim ha-chshuvim halolu b'nei ha-melech ha-shahoyu ad-heine b'shivya b'nechitzayim. And imagine the great joy of the king of the father, whose children have run to him, whose children have escaped the hands of the Yetzirah. Until now they were imprisoned by the Yetzirah and they're running for their lives, and Hashem is standing there waiting for you. Can you imagine the great joy? Who can measure the great joy? So my see you do from Baal Shem, I'm not going to say it. Bayriches, it's found in Degelmach and Ephraim in this week's parish in the Haftarah of Kisavu. And there, it's Nariches, the Baal Shem Tov's grandson talks about this marshal, half of the Gemarshal, and explains it to Degelmach and Ephraim. The marshal in Degelmach and Ephraim is known about the king and the contest whoever loves the king will go and cross over all the barriers and go into the palace and so on. And that everybody is trying to climb over these walls and there are monsters and dragons, and finally the only one who's able to get, of course, is the prince, because the prince closes his eyes and he gives a shri, he screams out to Abba, right? And then it turns out that all of those walls and barriers and dragons and moats, they were all created with the power of witchcraft and they never existed at all. It was just a figment of their imagination. And only the prince means only the son of the king, only a Jew knows how to scream out to Abba. And to go and to move forward. That's what he did. He gave a scream and he just pushed himself and everything. All the obstacles disappeared. Maisi do. And you should look in the Degelmach and Ephraim. There's a Maisi of the Baal Shem Tov, a true story. It happened as follows. My students, I'm sure, remember this story that it once happened that in Mezhbuz there was a traveling circus. A circus came to Mezhbuz. Mezhbuz was the town of the Baal Shem. So a circus came there. And of course, the students of Baal Shem Tov were poking fun at this is ridiculous and the stupid things that they're doing, the circus. And the Baal Shem Tov seemed very serious. The Baal Shem Tov asked, what is it that happens by the, what are they doing by the circus? What's the main event? So they told the Baal Shem Tov that the idiots, what they're doing, they're taking a string and they're attaching it to this mountain and they're throwing it, however, across to another mountain. And some meshugan is going to go and risk his life walking over across from one mountain to the other. They call that the tightrope, yeah? So Baal Shem Tov was, really? Really? And the Chassidim saw that they better act more serious. And the Baal Shem Tov said, tell me, what's underneath? When he walks across, what's underneath? So they said, nothing. If he falls, it's... So Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said, Gevalt, let's go see. Let's go watch this with our own eyes. And he put on his Shabbos coat. They went there. They told me Baal Shem Tov. And this guy's walking across, and the Baal Shem Tov is crying and rooting for him and holding it. It's a whole avoid of the Baal Shem Tov. And when the guy makes it across, the Baal Shem Tov starts to clap and jump. That the non-Jews couldn't figure, they knew he was a holy man, they couldn't figure this out. They come back to Beis Medrash, the Baal Shem Tov is still perspiring and deep in thought, until finally someone says, Rebbe, what happened by the circus? And the Baal Shem Tov said this. He said, you didn't see? With our own eyes we saw. Then at one end, there's truth. On the other end, there's truth. In between is the abyss. And did you see that there was a rope? And every Jew has to walk on that rope. Rabbi Nachman called it a narrow bridge. In this story, there's a rope, a chevel. You have to walk. The way that you walk is called halacha. Halacha means to walk, halicha. And did you see that sometimes he was leaning a little bit to the right, chesed, a little bit to the left, gevura. And everybody goes through this world. Sometimes a little bit we move to this side, a little bit to that side. But did you see? He made it across. And you know how he made it across? Because he was always looking at the end. He was looking at the end and he made it across. And did you see how he was greeted and he was welcomed when he got to the other side? And that's the life of a Jew in this world. Where we come from and what's waiting for us. Where we come from is the King of all kings. And the one who's waiting for us is the King of all kings. And it's difficult to walk across. And God forbid, there's nothing underneath. There's no alternatives. That's what we have to do. This is what we are. We're Jews. The main thing is not to be afraid. The main thing is to always move forward towards the Baruch Shalom, to move forward with Halach, with Shulchan Aruch, with Torah and Mitzvahs, to try to improve. But if that person on the tightrope would start looking back, he wouldn't last more than a second. Everybody knows that. If the guy looks back, he'll fall in a second. Just look forward. Hashem's Baruch should help us, that at this time of the year especially, we shouldn't be afraid to move forward. We should escape to Hashem. We should run away from those things that have been chasing us for years. And we should turn to the Rebbein Shalom. And Hashem has promised that each and every one of us will be able to see a Kriyas Yamsuf, will be able to see the sea split before his eyes. We should be zayich for that time when the running will be finished. We'll no longer have to run. We'll be able to walk together with Mashiach Zakeinu, the Beis HaMikdash, B'mehev Yameinu Amein V'Amein. I'm asking everybody that Nochem just has an announcement or two to make.